I'm Joseph.
And I'm Nick.
This is Fish Jelly.
Yes, it sure is.
How are you?
I am tired, but good.
We're recording this on Zoom because Nick is in London and you're trying to be discreet at the moment. So you're a little subdued. But today's Mother's Day, so happy Mother's Day.
Oh, yes. Happy to all the mothers.
I feel like I'm gonna try to connect two stories, but I spent the morning with my mom and we went and had brunch. And as I'm sitting at the restaurant, it's like every table is like kids and mom, right? So like adult children with their mothers. And I feel like that the restaurant I was sitting in, everyone has the same look on their face, like this lady drives me crazy.
I gotta live through this right now.
I gotta get through this. But it's like so that I'm connecting this to the radio show The Breakfast Club. They had Jimmy Walker, Bernadette Stainis, and Ralph Carter from Good Times on, because I think they're celebrating like the 50th anniversary of the show.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And man, like I mean, Jimmy Walker is already problematic because he has said some things that are just, he's real out of touch. He's been out of touch, but
Yes.
listening to him talk now as a 74-year-old or whatever, man, oh, it was just so grating. Just like this repetitive old man who is saying things that are just not appropriate. He kept, for the entire hour and a half, it was him talking about how everyone's a liar. Everyone in the industry is a liar. Women are liars. Like, women don't want to give him their phone number. And it's just like, you seem so gross. Like, you just seem like a gross, weird man. And then you're demonstrating why women probably don't want to talk to you. Bernadette was great. She looks great. She knew the appropriate amount to speak. And then Ralph Carter was also a little weirdo. And he's the youngest one. He's like in his mid-60s and he looked the worst. I think he probably had health issues. He'd look like the Jeepers Creepers man to me because he was wearing a hat and the way his face and facial hair looked. But he just sounded like the oldest man. If you would have told me he's the oldest living African American, like that's how he sounded to me.
Well, I mean, he's not young.
But I watched that interview last night, and then being with my mom this morning, and then seeing all the people, and it's just like, I know I'm a grouchy person, and I feel like an old man, but I don't want to sound like so out of touch, and like all I ever do is talk about the past and like can't get you, like everything's weird. And like my mom saw a Cybertruck for the first time, the new Tesla truck, and she was just like it bothered her for some reason. I'm like, why would this truck bother you? So much. I mean, random things bother me, but it's just like everything's weird. And then I was thinking too, like listening to Jimmy Walker and Ralph Carter talk, and then seeing, because you can hear people talking, and it's like, oftentimes our parents will complain or say, like, how come we don't spend more time with them? And it's like, well, you're not fun to be around. You complain about everything.
Exactly.
You complain about everything. You don't like anything. You're very particular about food. So it's like, why would I invite you to eat? Because it's not fun. You don't want to try new things. You're going to be weird about what you order. You're going to complain about the prices. So then, why? I'm talking in general, not just specifically my own mother, even though she does drive me crazy sometimes. But it's like, yeah, sometimes people aren't a joy or pleasure to be around. And then they seem confused why people don't want to be around them. Like Jim Walker complaining about how it's so hard to find work, or Ralph Carter, he was less, adamant about it, but it's like, as someone just watching you for an hour and a half, you seem like I would want you as far away from my set as possible. Like if I took a meeting with you, they would ask them simple questions like, How did you get the job on Good Times? And Jimmy Walker went on this rant for like 10 minutes about how people are liars and like, okay. I just wanted to know, like, did you audition or did they call you? Like,
Right.
but yeah, for anyone who liked the show Good Times, I would not recommend watching that interview. It was kind of depressing
Oh.
seeing so old and
Well, I mean, yeah, it's it when you come to the point where you just can't handle or don't want to deal with new things.
which is fine, but then I mean, I don't know that it's fine. I think it's important to try to keep up and certain things, you know, there are certain things even now as a 45-year-old that I'm just like, I don't think that I'm going to get into that. And probably, you know, unless I had to, don't feel the need to jump on that wagon. But yeah, it's like you're the older people get, like our parents, it's like you're not always that fun to be around. So that, and then also all you do is bring up old shit that's triggering to me. Like every time, you know, like the same stories. And then it's like some stuff I try to like say, oh, I don't want to talk about that. And it's just like, you can't take the hint. That was the weekend I got molested. And every time I see you, you want to bring it up. And it's like, I don't understand why you keep bringing. And then my mom's so good at that. Like just always talking about the past. And it's like, can we maybe make new memories? Like, can we do new things? And
There's a line Naomi Watts says in the movie You Will Meet a Tall, Dark Stranger, the Woody Allen movie from 2010, where she's basically screaming at her mother, like, do you not have to remember everything all the time?
right. That's how I feel around my own mother. Like you bring,
No,
like,
it's do we have to relive every goddamn memory every time?
yeah. Because it's like, I mean, I had a lovely childhood and I have fond memories of, for quite a while, I have fond memories of my childhood. So it's not like, you know, there's all this trauma to pull from, but there are a lot of things that are so cringy and it's like, maybe you should take the lead that I'm not reacting to it. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, shut the fuck up. Stop bringing that up. Although she did say something that I'm sure if my sister hears this, she'll be like, dummy, you knew this. But my memory, I didn't know that my mom was explaining to me that when she was pregnant with me, my sister, and my brother, she had the same doctor for all three, and that she saw like a private doctor. Like she went like Dr. Huxtable, and that he delivered the three of us, and even his nurse delivered all three, like was assisting him. Now we were also born like a year apart, so this is over like a 4-year period that she had the same doctor. But it made me think, do people nowadays, like if you have old bullshit ass Kaiser, how does that work? Like do
Well,
you
probably not with Kaiser, because you're lucky you get whoever's there that day.
when was the last time you saw your general practitioner?
It's been years.
Yeah, you can't get an appointment.
I mean, which reminds me, I haven't had a physical in a long time.
Well, I went to book a physical and it was like, oh, like 3 months out. Like, damn. But a doctor we know told me, like, oh, well, urgent care is kind of like, you know, where you can go. So, but like if you have general questions. So
Just where I want to go, urgent care.
yeah, it's like, so okay. I mean, I don't, maybe at least for Kaiser, they need to better explain like how this is
Well,
supposed to work. Like, I don't
that's
understand why
why.
I have a family doctor then if I can't ever see them.
That's why urgent care is a nightmare, because most people are there with non-urgent issues.
But you're kind of forced to be there because it's like,
Yes, exactly.
because there are issues that are like, oh, it's not like emergent or even urgent. But if I try to go through the normal channel of booking an appointment on my phone, like on the app, it would be 3 months before I could see. So then you have the option to see whomever's available. Like you can call first thing in the morning and then whatever doctor is free in the clinic that day, you can get in. But then it's like a stranger. So then
It's a
what's the point?
stranger. And I think people forget that doctors, just being a doctor, doesn't make them automatically smart or social,
Personable. Yeah.
personable, or they might have like some cuckoo kind of beliefs.
Yeah, weird
Like,
biases.
Being gay, I'm very sensitive to that, and getting some white guy that's 2 years younger than me telling me that about how abstinence is the only way to protect yourself. It's like, girl, goodbye with that 1990s rhetoric. Shut the fuck up.
But anyway, we can move on. I already told you this story, but I figured since it's kind of relevant, yesterday I was driving, or whatever day I told, yesterday or Friday or Saturday, someone ran a red light and almost hit me, and it was Shamar Moore, and he waved and said sorry. And he was driving a bright yellow Mercedes AMG GTS, which is
Speak
actually
of
a
the
really,
devil.
it's a very sexy car. I was kind of looking at some, like maybe that could be my next car, but
We were just talking shit about him that day.
and we were talking shit because we reviewed Not Another Church Movie, which we did enjoy for the most part. I had one more thing I wanted to complain about.
Sure, get it off your chest.
It really bothers me when people complain about jury duty. Like,
Oh no, I know.
you know this, but it's like, I just think it's so tacky to act. First of all, like, you know what I always think? Because I've been on jury duty twice, like, where I had to actually like sit through a trial, but then I've gone to jury duty, dozens of times in my, what, 27 years of being eligible. And I think it's like, it's your civic duty. And also, what if you were on trial? Would you want a bunch of assholes sitting in the jury box who are annoyed to be there and complaining about the $3.36 a day and how? Also, most of y'all hate going to work anyway. So it's like, wouldn't you rather participate in something where you have a vo- you know, people act out so much because they feel like they don't have a voice, no one listens, and then you actually get called in to actually have a very important say in something that could greatly affect someone's life. And you're still bothered by it. Like you're so important. You don't do shit anyway. Like, that drives me crazy.
Yeah, I do think that's annoying because it, and if everybody just kind of could grin and bear it, the process would be a lot better if everybody shows up where the fuck they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, and we can just get the show on the road. But
You know, the reason a
everybody.
lot of these processes are annoying is because everything has to be made idiot proof because people are not engaged, they're not paying attention. Yes, a lot of people are just dumb, and so we have to try to weed through those people. But it's like, a lot of things are frustrating because people are frustrating. Like, this is part of our privilege
Well,
in
it's
a
part of our
country where
civic
we.
duty. And I mean, if it were up to me, I'd be like, there'd be, you know what gets people into shape? Money. And if they get stiff fines for not reading instructions properly and fucking up all around the place, and they got these big fines and or jail time, guess what would be more smooth?
Wow. Everyone has different learning styles and different accommodations. So I'm just saying, I find it really disappointing that people treat something so seriously like it's an inconvenience for them because you don't want to go to your shitty job as the like receptionist at a dental office, the job you complain about all the time. Like, and that you feel invisible and that's why you act out and have road rage, because and now you get a chance to matter, and then you still. Anyway, that really bothers me.
I
Only
know it
because
does.
in the same day, a coworker was complaining about jury duty and someone at the gym was complaining about it. Like, I overheard them. Moving on to the restaurant section, I wanted to tell the story because on Cinco de Mayo, we, of course, didn't want to go to a Mexican restaurant because it was going to be crazy busy. So you decided to make elote, and it
I
was very
did.
good. You
Thank you.
roasted corn
Yeah, on the cob
and like shucked it, and
I shocked that shit.
but you also were going to make burritos. And you, bless your heart, you worked so hard on that elote, and then you were like, okay, you like yelled up, you screamed upstairs, like food, like feel your gut. And then I come downstairs and you're like, okay, we'll make your burrito. So I go to the kitchen and you made the elote, you had we like to use these larger ceramic ramekins for everything. So you had them very nicely presented, the elote. And then the burrito, I see a tortilla on a plate and I see a big pan with carnitas. And I'm like, well, where's the rest of the shit? And you forgot to buy all the like the fixings.
I did. To be fair, if you recall that night, I also developed a fever that lasted for 3 nights. So,
You were not, yeah, you were sick during this period. But what would you call that? Because I guess it's not a burrito, like a meat sandwich, or like what would you call what you fed me? Because it was just a tortilla with like carnitas inside.
it
That
was a meat roll.
was oh, that's what it was, a meat
Okay.
roll.
We had meat rolls.
So we had meat rolls, but you know the carnitas were very well seasoned, and I do like
Yes.
flour tortillas. And then I tried a restaurant for brunch today for Mother's Day called Margo in Culver City.
Oh, I remember driving by that.
It's cute. I was a little, well, you know, it's funny how these rest, it's a very beautiful restaurant. It has a lovely view of Culver City. So basically, like, new construction 360, but the it's supposed to be co like coastal Mediterranean inspired cuisine. But then for brunch, it's funny to me how all these nice restaurants that have, you know, very specific flavors, but then for their brunch menus are all the same. It's like poached eggs, steak and eggs, French toast, waffle. So it's funny how everything gets reduced to like the same five items. So it's weird to say like I like the food because what I ate was standard brunch fare. But I would go there again. It was very cute.
I ate at a cute place today called Granger and Company. I'm staying in the Farringdon area. And I had broccolini, kale, rigatoni with ricotta. That was very good.
Oh. Well, moving on to films released we didn't cover, Gasoline Rainbow.
Yes, this is from the Ross brothers, Bill and Turner Ross. I don't believe I've seen their previous films, but they have a large following in the critical community, I believe. This played at Venice, and it's a road trip movie. That's all I know, but yeah, I haven't seen it.
The Last Stop in Yuma County.
We almost watched this.
We were supposed to, but time got away from us.
Time and then Spectrum decided not to give anyone internet service in our area for a whole day. So,
A whole day and night. The internet didn't, I went to bed, like, what time did I go to bed? Like 11:30, 12? And we still didn't have internet.
God.
Yeah. So it was all day. But
Yes,
it's
so
during
that.
Jim Cummings.
Yes, apparently directed by his friend Francis Gallippi. And also stars Jocelyn Donahue, who I hung out with in Cleveland when I was there. She co-directed that film Greener Grass, and she's a, I have to say, she's a very lovely person.
Well, I thought we've reviewed two Jim Cummings films.
That he's directed.
And I thought he's, you know, he's cute and funny. So I was looking forward to watching the movie, but then the internet went out on us. Next, Pool Man.
Chris Pine directed a movie.
This is the movie where all of those like memes about like I even posted one where it was like, oh, 6 months after moving to LA and you look like Chris Pine, but that's his look in the movie Pool Man. Like he looks like
Yes.
a weird surfer guy or something.
Yeah, the press screen coincided with when we saw Furiosa, but it's got terrible reviews out of the Toronto Film Festival last year.
Oh.
So, I mean, I'm sure we'll watch it eventually. I'm not, yeah, I don't know. Doesn't excite me that much.
Lastly, Lazarus, which
We started this.
we started it, but then the internet started acting crazy.
Directed by
Oh no,
Adam.
the internet had already gone down and we tried to stream it using our cell phone hotspot. It just wasn't
It was glitchy, you
acceptable.
know.
But it stars
It was
Naomi
directed
Judd.
by Alec Tibaldi, but notably stars Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd.
but it looks terrible.
Is there a Naomi Judd? Why did I say that?
Yeah, the mother.
Oh, Ashley Judd. Well, I watched the trailer and it looked terrible. And I didn't realize Ashley Judd had done stuff to her face.
Oh, yeah, for a while
It was
now.
kind of shocking
Yeah.
because you watched for the first time Double Jeopardy.
Well, since it came out, yeah.
Because I've seen that movie more than once, and I remember, I guess I assumed I liked it because I watched it more than once. But then when you were watching it, and then I rewatched parts of it, I'm like, God, this is kind of stupid.
Oh, yeah, stupid.
Projects of Interest, The Man, what is that? The Mandalorian and Grogu. What is that?
So the big news is Sigourney Weaver is in talks to star in the new Star Wars movie.
Oh, it's going to be called The Mandalorian.
And Grogu. Yep, those are the character. Those are based on the TV series. So Pedro Pascal is the Mandalorian, and Grogu
Oh.
is the thing that everybody calls Baby Yoda.
When I tell you, I have no idea what that is, but that's exciting if she's going to be in it.
Yeah, the Star Wars franchise. I hope she gets a good, juicy, villainous role. So all the reports said that she was in talks. So I don't even, who knows, but I wouldn't be mad at that.
There's a Christy Martin project.
Yes, yeah, Sydney Sweeney will be playing her. But what's more exciting about that is it's directed by David Michaud, who, I mean, he's probably still best known for Animal Kingdom, his first film, but I remember thinking The Rover was decent, and I didn't really love War Machine. But that could be good.
I Want Your Sex.
Yeah, Greg Araki's finally doing another movie. It's been a decade since he did White Bird in a Blizzard, and Olivia Wilde's going to star in it.
Did he do Mysterious Skin?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. And then Isabel Huppert in Venice.
She will be, it was announced this week that she's going to be the jury president
Oh, that's right.
for this year's Venice Film Festival. So I was always, I think it was in 2009 when she was the Cannes president, was when I started becoming intensely interested in Cannes. And I remember thinking, oh, how awesome it would be there to be there, you know, that year. And then since then, there were all these rumors about how the other jurors felt about her. And yeah, so I think that's cool, though. Cate Blanchett also recently did both Venice and Cannes.
Unfortunately, there are entries in the obituary section. Bernard Hill died.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Do you know who that is? I don't. Did you write that down or did I write it down?
You wrote that down because I only
Oh.
wrote down one obituary.
Bernard Hill is an English actor. He's best known for playing Captain Edward Smith in Titanic.
Yes.
He's in a movie, a Clint Eastwood movie, True Crime.
And
He's King of
Lord of the
Rohan
Rings.
in the Lord of the Rings film trilogy. Yeah,
If you
I'm
saw his
sorry.
face, you'd recognize him.
If I did,
Yeah.
I'm looking at him. I don't recognize him.
Really? You don't from Titanic?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Roger Corman died. And we're familiar with him from what?
Oh my God, Joseph. I mean, he kind of transformed the indie film model in the 60s. But he made all these cheapy genre films. He's also responsible for kind of giving Jack Nicholson his early start. He as the whatever money he made from a film, that would be the budget for the next film. Like, he churned out all this arguably, shit cinema, but some of it's a lot of fun. I love The Wasp Woman. You've seen Roger Corman productions. He most famously, for as a director, did that cycle of Edgar Allan Poe adaptations, like the Fall of the House of Usher with Vincent Price,
Okay.
etc. I noticed Paul Schrader posted something today. Roger Corman, like, he didn't want to support great filmmakers, in
Damn.
short. Basically bitching about how Corman like never wanted to produce any of his scripts.
Damn. Like, lastly, Sam Rubin died. Sam Rubin was the entertainment reporter on KTLA Morning News. And I have to say, I never liked Sam Rubin, but
Oh.
he started in the 90s. And like growing up in LA, like I remember watching him in high school on TV. And then I received a scholarship for journalism. And he was, there were several like LA like news correspondents at this like event to award the scholarships, and he was one of them. But if people don't know who he is, they might remember he went viral back in, oh God, when was it? He went viral back, oh, 10 years ago, 2014, because on air he was interviewing Samuel L. Jackson
Oh, yes.
and mistook him for Lawrence Fishburne,
Yeah, I remember that.
and Sam Jackson was offended. So I think if you were to type in like Sam Rubin in YouTube, the first clip that would pop up would probably be Sam Jackson going off on him. But
Wow.
I am very familiar with him. And then, as you know, I read KTLA news on their website every day. Like every morning when I get up, I check KTLA. So I would often see him, like his entertainment stories. And I
Was this an
didn't care for
unexpected
him as
death?
an entertainment reporter, but he did die suddenly at the age of 64. So, you know.
Wow. I think, was I just forced to watch him interview Harry Hamlin about the cooking show that got my blood pressure out of a lot of
Oh, when
sorts?
you were at the dentist. Oh, okay. The reason we're on Zoom is because you're in London, because you decided to go out there before Cannes to
Yes.
see a play starring Isabelle Huppert.
Yes, who I've never seen on stage. Although I have seen a stage production of The Glass Menagerie that was filmed that I made you watch.
So you're seeing Mary Said What She Said. It's the
Yes.
testimony of Mary, Queen of Scots, drawn from her letters about her involvement in some of the most notorious plots of her time. She is lying, but on the eve of execution, has fear persuaded her that she is telling the truth? I don't know what I just read, but where is the play happening? Like, what's the theater name?
The Barbican.
How is that space?
It was a lovely space, but it was stressful because I almost didn't make it.
Because your flight, because you're trying to, you were trying to negotiate like flying to London to then end up in Cannes. So the timing's weird. But then your original flight got delayed several hours.
3 hours, and then we were still late leaving LA. And then, of course, leaving Heathrow is not easy to
So what
get
time
into.
did you land at Heathrow?
I landed at five, like I l landed and got off the plane and through customs. It was about 5:40.
And what time did the show start?
7:45.
So you had 2 hours to get from Heathrow to the theater.
Sorry, I'm forgetting what time I exited. It was less because by the time I got out into the open air, I was in a like full-blown panic by then. Because everything that I was checking for public transport and or an Uber was giving me there at like 7:44. And they already sent several emails saying there's no late entrance.
Well,
So
we
I
know
took
how you and we all know how you like to panic, so I'm sure you were stressed out.
I was, so I
Oh, wait,
decided.
so how did you end up getting there?
I took what's called the Elizabeth Line, which is a public transportation. And that's what I'll be taking back to the airport. But I got there at 7:48, ran in, and I had my bags. You know, I have a duffel bag and a backpack. That's how I always travel. I never, ever check luggage.
Whitney will never be fat.
No, I will not
And Nick will
check.
never check luggage.
No, like once I'm off the plane, I want to be gone from there.
Well, side note, I've also started to pack lighter because I realize, A, I don't wear all the shit, but also you can wash your clothes.
Yeah,
So I wash
Definitely.
even on the cruise. I only bring one workout outfit, but I bring an outfit that is the material that I, like fast dry. So I bring a little thing of laundry detergent, and I just wash my shit in the sink and then hang it every day.
Well, and
Anyway.
now that I am a full-fledged adult, I don't share space with anyone. So most of the places I rent have like washing dryer, washer and or dryer in the unit. So
Yeah.
I don't have to pack for a full 2 weeks. But the poor young woman, I'm like, am I too late? I came here right from the airport. She's like, if you run like you're still at the airport, you can go. And she's like,
Oh.
he goes, I'm gonna do the fastest bag check ever. And she like, I unzip my duffel bag. She's like, you're good, great. I'm like, oh, do I need to put this in coat check? She's like, you need to shove that under your seat right now.
Oh.
And I did. And
Okay.
it was glorious.
So talk to us about, can you better explain what the story of the play is about?
Yeah, it's about Mary Queen of Scots, who, of course, was locked up for 20 years by her cousin, Queen Elizabeth, for conspiring against the crown of England. And she was eventually beheaded by her cousin, who purportedly they never ever met, even though there's some films like a recent one with Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan that tried to posit like, what if these two women had actually talked? And you just saw someone playing her son, King James, in Mary and George.
Which one was King James?
The king, Tony Curran, the
The gay
redhead.
guy?
Yes, that's Mary Queen
That's
of Scots.
Mary, Queen of Scots' son?
Yes, that character.
Oh, so her eggs were cracked. Okay.
Well,
That's
she, I
her
don't
son,
think.
really?
I think she had been locked up since he was an infant, which is. So the play is just one long monologue from Isabelle Huppert, which is exactly how she likes it. And the amount of amount of delivery, even though there's a lot of repetition, the repetition comes in and out at odd moments too. It was impressive. It was intense and manic.
Okay, what is the stage setup like?
It was for the first like 20 minutes, she's in the shadows, and she's up against a screen. There are like two strips of bright lights on the floor, and the screen fluctuates from being like a cloudy sky with the sun that's barely coming through. And then, about after 20 minutes of her like just babbling, 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 the lights finally show on her face. And it's a lot of it's, a conglomeration of her thoughts from these letters. And so, she's talking a lot about her four handmaidens that were all named Mary as well, which is kind of part of the theme, and her just like clearly being warped and obsessed with the kind of strange, insane life that she had. And of course, religion comes into it too, because she was Catholic and Queen Elizabeth was Protestant, of course. That was all, they were all killing each other over shit like that then. And then, so for God, I want to say, about half of it, it's an hour 45 minutes, she is stationary. And then there's this thing that happens where the stage goes dark, the curtain, and because and a curtain had gone down, and when it goes back up, we see Isabel in this lovely, the screen is protecting it, but they had pumped all this dry ice out on the stage, so it's like her in this like wispy fog that's drifting, and she's still talking, and it looked really cool. And then, of course, that goes away, and then she starts doing this. I'll have to imitate it for you when I get home. It's just she's doing this back and forth thing like an animal. That's a choreographed series of movements that it actually seems is really creepy and if not scary.
Oh.
As she's getting closer, of course, to the day of execution, and she's babbling, babbling, babbling. But it is it's experimental theater, and clearly probably not for everybody, but I can't imagine. And she's worked with this director before, Robert Wilson, who's American, and he's in his 80s, but I just can't imagine staging something like that, like making someone perform that. I mean, she only did three performances, and maybe that's a very taxing role. And she's this itty bitty little thing.
Wait, she memorized all that dialogue just to do it 3 times?
But she's done it on and off. She did it in Paris already.
Oh,
She's in London now. And then in a recent interview, I read that she said she's going to be coming to New York with it. But yeah, just for a handful of performances. And then she was just in another play last month called Bernice, which I told you about in France, where she got heckled.
she got heckled.
Somebody shouted at her to speak up.
Oh,
But that was also a piece of experimental
could
theater.
you hear her well where you were seated?
Oh yeah, it was good. Oh, and then there's the score that is accompanying her. There's this like intense slash kind of magisterial score that's going on, this pulsating music. It's just especially after like coming off this 10-hour flight and rushing there, I was just like in a bizarre headspace. But I read somebody describe the score as kind of like the theme to Succession. But yeah, I heard her very well. And then sometimes like she's silent and there are recorded voices, some of her own, some of like other from other people in her life, meant to show that, you know, she's alone with all these thoughts. And
Where was your seat? Like, how close were you to the stage?
you saw the picture I posted, right? I was in row H, so pretty close to the stage.
How does she look?
I thought she looked great. I mean, she looked very pale and severe, but she looked good in her royal garb. Yeah, I was highly entertained.
So it's a one-woman show.
It is, but you know, she likes shit like that.
Well, she likes the tension.
She likes to be the center of attention,
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And then the crowd went wild. She did like four goings and back and forth from off the stage, and towards the end she started like skipping like a little girl.
So she was in good spirits.
She's also the type I've noticed that obviously wants attention but doesn't want to be accosted with your jubilee over her per se.
Oh, well, what else would you like to say about Mary said what she said, which of course is reminding me of that Doja Cat song.
Oh yes. What's that called again? Red.
Oh God, because I always want to say, bitch, I said what I said, but it's called something like red. Hold, please.
Red velvet cake.
Oh, not red velvet cake. Oh, paint the town red.
Paint the town red. Yep. I you know, it was a great experience. Yeah, that marvelous. Marvelous.
Well, if that's all you have to say for that, then you're leaving to go to Cannes tomorrow.
Yes, I fly to Nice tomorrow afternoon, and I should be stationed safely by the evening. And then the festival starts Tuesday.
Okay.
And we're off
Well,
to the races. Yeah.
that's all I have. Is there anything
Same.
else? All right.
No, there's just a lot going on, but I'm sure we'll do like a mid-festival thing,
Can't
you and
wait.
I. Oh yes, I'm sure.
All right.
All
Ta-ta.
right. Ta-ta.